was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. Four in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
My friend. Welcome. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. My pleasure to be here tonight. My friends, it's Sunday, September 30th. Thank you for doing me the honor of joining me. If you had any idea of the sacrifices we go through to bring you this program. Yesterday, as you may know, we went through garbage removal during the program, and about 30 seconds before airtime tonight, one of my dogs got skunked and ran in the house. So we have our hands full, you might say. About an hour ago, I fell asleep at my desk. I've been working around the clock trying to prepare for the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat in about a week. It is an incredible amount of work. I certainly hope Roberta and Brian's health hold up and that the three of us don't need open-heart surgery by the time we're done. My apologies if we disconnected all tonight. We have had periodic internet server problems. Thank you, Time Warner. You not only bring the finest pornography around the world, thereby destroying our children, but you also cannot be relied upon for dependable internet, in my humble opinion. So if we go down, as we did last night for a moment, please forgive me. I believe that's the reason. Go blame Time Warner and their company, worthy of blame. But thank you for joining me. We have a very special guest tonight, Bill Smith, a highly qualified BIC mentor who was operating successfully long before he met me, and from whom all of us will be able to learn much when we hear the story of his hearing this past week. Bill's the one, you may recall from the email I dispensed, that said to the judge at the beginning of the hearing, and I don't want to hear any of your BS, Judge. And believe me, friends, when you hear him tonight, you will be jotting down notes and saying to yourself, why didn't I think of that when it was said to me? He makes it sound very fluid. He knows exactly who he is and what he's doing and why he's doing it. He has no trouble saying, excuse me, my bank is the Department of Treasury. That's what we're talking about here, Judge. But we'll let Bill tell the story because he tells it much better than I do. And I'm sure you're going to find it very entertaining and perhaps very educational as well. Might I suggest you may want to download yesterday's program in the Republic Broadcasting Archives if you'd like to sample a smorgasbord of definitive enforcement strategies I know that you will likely find to be of potential benefit at some time in the future. It's really one of the best programs I think I've ever done, despite all of the interruptions we had. It was a madhouse, but we really were able to focus in on the program and in my own head on collecting in bankruptcy and using a trial by notary panel in the bankruptcy along with commercial liens and suing a friend in court for enforcement strategies combined in one that anyone can execute, I think you'll find of interest. When we come back from the break, my friends, we'll have Bill Smith on the line, a few other important announcements you don't want to miss. Listening to Take No Prisoners at Public Broadcast Network. Thanks for joining me. See you in a couple of minutes on Dr. Sam Kennedy.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, folks, if and when I have the world I want, I'm not holding my breath, then I'm going to send the executives of Time Warner out into the rice fields and give them the sample of common law. Common law, not that we're inviting common law back. You know, it stinks in here. This is the second skunk incident that we've had in a week, and I'm literally sitting here holding my nose as I'm talking to you. I have another wife story for you. My wife, who selects food by the way it smells, who has a highly keen sense of smell, she can select food even if it's sealed in a package. My wife, who is part bloodhound, ran up into the office seconds before airtime, held out her farm blouse, which is not necessarily the sweetest smelling thing anyway after a day of tending the goats, and said, "Do you smell something?" And the odor of skunk was so powerful I almost fell off the chair. So now we're coming to you from a skunkified, rarefied atmosphere that can only be brought to you by the Republic Broadcasting Network. By the way, folks, speaking of Republic, I plan to be a guest. I've received an invitation to be a guest on the National Intel Report show, which is hosted by the owner of Republic, John Stadtmiller, and it's a great program. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. It's on 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, and I am a guest this Thursday. I say that hesitantly, this Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with one proviso, that I'm going to be on the road for 2 days wrapping up some things for the conference. And I'm a day late. I hope to be back. There's a chance I won't make it, but I'm going to move mountains to be John's guest. We have some exciting things to discuss. Folks, this BIC phenomenon has spread around the world like wildfire, as you're probably aware of. And what we're seeing is that the BIC users and aficionados and the attendees at the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat really have become a community worldwide. And I'm saying that based upon many of the wonderful emails that I'm blessed to receive every day. Sure, I receive many of the same, Sam, I need help. Sam, urgent, can you help us? Kinds of cries for assistance. But I also receive so many emails from people telling us of this success or that success, telling us how they're working with this party or that party. The majority of people who ask me for assistance now, I'm able to hook up with others, not because I'm lazy, because I don't have 5 seconds in my day, and that's a, 4 hours sleep, that's a 20-hour day on one meal. And so I appreciate their assistance, and I'm watching so many of them grow and prosper in their development. This is an expanding community worldwide. I do urge caution when commercial interests are involved. Just be careful. You know what you're getting. I have nothing against people who wish to exchange their knowledge and their expertise and their dedication for commercial compensation. That's fine. But just make sure you know the parties. Just make sure they're not representing that they're using my material and I approved it. I don't approve anybody's material. No one's. Because once you take possession of it, it's your process. And I can only tell you what I might do under those circumstances. Also, I'd like to apologize for our hellaciously clogged emails. We are struggling, not daily, hourly, to keep them unloaded. And I realize many emails are bouncing back. Just try again an hour later. We had another problem today. Hush told us that we had hit our limit of outgoing emails from our locations. We didn't even know that that was possible. We didn't know that there was an upper limit, and we did not know that Hush has an electronic way of tracking that, which means Hush is now a primary security risk if security is your primary interest. Keep that in mind. It said for 24 hours, but I did sneak an email or two out just before the program, so hopefully it really is not a full day's turn off. If it is, we're all going to be traveling the roads looking for Wi-Fis. As far as the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat goes, I know we're receiving desperate emails. We are overbooked. We're having the largest crowd ever. We're going to be bringing in, I believe, some extra chairs and accommodations. We're doing everything we can to accommodate you folks. You do have to take care of your responsibilities as far as the deposit. That, for those of you who are not pro bono, that's important. Not for the compensation, but Roberta needs to know that spaces are definitely held, because if poor Roberta receives 20 cancellations the week before the conference and has to then re-register 20 people, she's not going to be with us any longer. And there's a chance that a number of people will be turned away who should not have been. So we need to know that you're serious about attending. I don't mean to lecture you, but please get those deposit donations in by Wednesday at the latest. Thursday she cleans house, and you should be aware of that. Remember, folks, we're also on Saturdays. Sometimes that's a decent program, and sometimes it's an extremely powerful program. Yesterday and the last week or two have been programs that I'm proud of as providing a real contribution. If someone writes me and says, hey, Sam, what do I do in this situation? I can say, well, why don't you check out this program? This will do a better job than I can do to you on the telephone or even in person because we just hit it right that day. It was we were in the right mindset and we were on our game, and that's the best we can do on that subject. So I certainly recommend downloading the last month's programs. Also, folks, if you send in an order for collecting in bankruptcy or Rockland, please don't include any prepaid envelopes. They're simply going to wind up in the garbage or return to you because the shipping is from a different facility than where the orders are received, in fact, in a different city. So your prepaid envelope is useless. It's a waste of your money. If you need express mail, then contact Brian. There is additional cost because Brian literally then has to go down to the post office. He lives in the country. That means an hour's time for him to process that, and he charges for that. So keep that in mind, please. For those of you who don't know, Roger Elvick is out of prison, and I spoke to Barbara Bush today. I just want to extend publicly my hearty welcome to Roger. And everyone listening to my voice should do everything that they can to welcome this fellow back from the destitution of being ripped halfway across the country, placed into prison, placed into a United States gulag where he was drugged for a good portion of the time. And now he's out with little money, no resources, not much of an ability to travel, and so we want to tend those needs as quickly as possible. And I implore you, if you appreciate the service that we provide, then please be of benefit to Roger. And if you'd like to send an email to Barbara, I'll get that email address at the break, but many of you know Barbara Bush's email address, and offer your help and assistance in any way you can. I owe a lot to Roger. I've never met Roger, but I owe a lot to Roger, and you owe a lot to Roger, whether we are consciously aware of it most of the time or not. Also, folks, I recommend you download September 2nd, Power of the Notary, September 9th, Trial by Notary, September 16th, Collecting in Bankruptcy, September 22nd, BIC Enforcement, and September 23rd and 29th, Intense BIC presentation and enforcement, including combining enforcement strategies. So, thank you for allowing me the time to make these announcements. And now, I'd like to introduce to you my special guest, a very learned BIC mentor who predates BIC as being a mentor, a very gracious man to others, Bill Smith. Bill, are you on the line? Bill, are you there?
I'm there. Can you
hear
me?
Hello, Bill.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Bill.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After that wonderful introduction, I thought you had disappeared.
No, I'm here.
Well, welcome. Bill, thanks for joining me.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me on the show.
No, it's my privilege, Bill. So you and I had a brief conversation, and I don't want to waste any time in you bringing your story to the listeners tonight. You had a telephone hearing with a judge. When was that, Bill?
Last Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I don't remember the date. This past Tuesday.
A little under a week ago.
Right.
And how did that come to be? Why don't you give us the brief summary of the case that led to that, Bill?
Okay, it started out, they had a party and forgot to invite me to the party, and the judge issued summary judgment against me on June the 6th. And in the mail...
All right, so someone held a hearing, and you lost, and you weren't even notified the hearing was being held, right?
That's correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is business as usual in the United States. Now, most ordinary people who are unaware of what we experience every day in the freedom movement would think this is outlandish and impossible. But, Bill, this happens, as you know, all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Immediately, so what did you do?
When I received that, I was, of course, besides being a little upset, I just said, okay, I'm coming right back with notice of counterclaim, settlement, notice of bond by special appearance.
All right, I'm going to ask you to pause for the commercial break. Notice of counterclaim, Bond and special appearance. We're going to pick up with that after the break. We'll have a quick spot after that, and then we'll have another long segment thereafter. Folks, you're listening to Bill Smith and Sam Kennedy at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Oh, yeah. You're aboard the boogie train, my friends, because you're at Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I have the pleasure of talking with Bill Smith. Bill had a hearing this past Tuesday by telephone with a judge and either a prosecutor or plaintiff's attorney, and we'll find out in a minute. And apparently they held a hearing and decided they ordered summary judgment adverse to Bill and never noticed, Bill, that the hearing was being held. So, Bill, why don't you pick up from there, please?
Okay. We got on the phone conversation, and the attorney gave her a pitch. It was the plaintiff.
You mentioned you put in a notice of counterclaim?
Yes, I did.
Why don't you tell us about that briefly, Bill?
Well, that was I actually used part of the VIC process that you used, part of it, actually all of it, verified plain statement of facts and judicial notice to the court. Then when I gave several exhibits, it was all sent under notary seal.
Tell us what you sent.
I sent in, and I'm looking at the notary seal now, just in summary format, admiralty petition for the case, private discharge and indemnity bond, an affidavit of verified facts, a commercial affidavit of truth, copyright notice, UCC-1 security interest, copy of the bonded promissory note, and fiduciary instructions.
Now, who did you tender the bonded promissory note to?
To the and the fiduciary on it was the attorney for the plaintiff.
And what kind of company or plaintiff was this?
It was a credit card company.
All right, so this is a credit card situation,
right,
Bill, and you had placed an indemnity bond on file with the Department of Treasury, and then you tendered a bonded promissory note to the CFO of the credit card company, of the bank?
Right. No, I actually did it with made the attorney, the receivers. I had in the back of my mind that in reality they bought this account. They weren't really representing who they were supposed to, so I just thought I drew a few marbles down the hall by
all
making
right,
him a fiduciary for that company. So if you're
they
working for them, no problem. You can pay them, you know.
They do that all the time.
Right.
Now, when were you noticed that a case even existed? When did they move judicially?
I received it in the mail. It was stamped already, signed by the judge, but actually it was not signed. It said signed by the judge on June 6th. And I think I received
it. Excuse me, you never received a summons and complaint?
No. I just got the answer. You know, that's what I was talking about.
My friends, ex parte summary judgment. They're
mm-hmm.
setting new heights.
Right.
In the judiciary. And you know why they do that, folks? Because once they receive a bonded promissory note, they really know that their back is up against the wall.
Yeah.
So is this the first time you spoke to this judge?
No, I had talked to him before.
How did that happen to come about?
I went through a court process over a year before with him. And
case or this case?
No, it was the same case.
I
and
see.
It sat there for, I'm going to say, from February the previous year until June of this year when I received a summary judgment out of the blue.
Was this summary judgment under the same case number?
Yes. Yes, it was.
All right. So there was a summons then complaint a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago, yes. And I did show up for that one.
All right.
They couldn't produce the facts then on the case.
Say that again, please.
The plaintiff couldn't produce the facts then on that particular case, and it kind of died. And then what happened, I filed a counterclaim, and then as it turned out, I had relocated the state. And when the counterclaim came up, I couldn't be there. So what happened, he didn't do anything. Well, he just let it die. Nobody did anything. So it sat there on that counterclaim from March, something like that, previous year, and then all of a sudden, in June, I get a summary judgment. I didn't get invited back because we were back to the original case again. I didn't get invited back on that at all.
Well, now I understand what went on, and I'll tell you, I think you'll probably agree with this. This summary judgment was based upon the default on the hearing on your counterclaim.
Right.
You put in a counterclaim, and instead of showing up and saying, we're also putting in a petition for summary judgment on these guys based upon a counterclaim and the pleadings at hand and the evidence provided by the notary into the case. And by the way, my friends, it's the notary that should be putting your evidence in. I had a very interesting discussion today with Tom Schultz, many of you may know, and that's the same formula Tom follows and I follow and so many people follow who have had success in these arenas. We have the notary provide the evidence into the file. Once in a while, they'll balk, but if they do, that's a stupid move that places them, that literally hands you the case because it places them in a felony situation, and you can immediately move criminally and close that case out. So now I understand the circumstances of the summary judgment. I think our audience will really appreciate how you recovered from this. Now, this is a year into a case, a dormant case, and people say to me all the time, Bill, well, how can I reopen a case, or what can I do? A case is never closed, and you're about to prove that. Did you put in another counterclaim on top of the summary judgment?
Yes, I did.
What was that? What did that consist of?
That was where I was listing all these documents when I came in. The counterclaim was listing the discharge bond and all the stuff I was putting into the case at that time, along with a copy of the bonded promissory note that the bill had been paid, And the one thing I the fiduciary instructions were on this particular thing. Now, there was more, too, I'd add to it.
Okay, well, we will pick that up after the break. That music means we're headed to a three-minute break, and we're going to have about 20 minutes to explore this. I can't wait.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. I'm joined tonight by Bill Smith, a very knowledgeable BIC mentor, and we're going to get into the meat of his hearing in just a moment. You're going to get a kick out of this, folks. In fact, I suggest you have pen and paper handy, take notes if you can, while you're laughing, because if you find it half as amusing as I did, you're going to have a great time. I forgot to announce that I received the specifications for filing and securing apostilles from an association known as P-File, P as in Peter, File. And I had originally approached half a dozen people to ask if they would handle filing chores for people around the country who write me all the time that they're having problems. And everyone said no. I even took one fellow. I hand-walked him into a filing office immediately after the collecting and bankruptcy seminar. And once he was finished with it, he just didn't want to do it. So finally, someone came through, and they're not affiliated with me. I know them, and I trust them, and I trust they'll do a good job. But they're not affiliated with me, but you can contact them at pfile@hush.com. I have reviewed their specifications. They did me the honor of saying, Sam, would you review this and see if you think the costs are appropriate and the way we're going about it is appropriate. And it's really not my domain to criticize them or tell them what to do, but I thought it was just fine, and I thought it was fair and workable and very thorough, so that all those areas where there could be errors, where you send something along and the people who receive it don't know what it is you're intending, all of that was covered because they have nice little order sheets for every packet you unfiled. For instance, if you did an administrative remedy and then you followed it with a civil assessment or a default process, those might have separate notary certificates and might be stapled up as separate evidence packets or evidence piles. And I think the way they've done some bulk stuff and the cost of copies was very effective, certified copies from the county. I think it'll work for a number of people. And so you might want to, if you have that need, you might want to contact them at pfile@hush.com. And our friends at Notary Depot, D-E-P-O-T, as well, are worthy of being contacted if you need a knowledgeable BIC notary or a commercial notary. So, Bill, after you received the notice of summary judgment 1 year into your case, 1 year of dormancy into your case, you sent out a counterclaim. Now, is it at that point that you started filing the indemnity bond and the and sent the bonded promissory note to the attorney, or did you do that sometime before the summary judgment?
No, I had at the time when I sent that in, that all went out the same day. It was on,
okay, so we did a brand new BIC process on an old case, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
Did you default the attorney who was named as the fiduciary on the bonded promissory note?
Yes, I did. I had sent everything out, and then I issued a certificate of non-response, non-performance, dishonor.
Your notary did. Your notary did.
Notary, yes, on July the 5th.
And then you compiled that as a counterclaim, and you sent it off to the judge. You had the notary send it to the judge privately?
Actually, what I had done, I sent the, under notary seal, I sent everything out to the clerk of the court, which it did not include the certificate of non-response yet, because they had time yet to respond. I did all this on June the 5th is actually when I mailed it. I think that's what it was. And they had stamped that thing June the 6th somehow. I don't remember. It was crazy with those dates. I don't remember on the court's case date, because it was stamped June the 6th. And I think it was stamped. I got it before he stamped it. Something like that. Boy, they're really flaky. So I
Sounds like IRS.
Yeah. So I immediately say, well, how the hell? Well, whatever. So I did this June the 5th. I went and used the notary, went back to the clerk, filing my petition, counterclaim, settlement, bond, put in there with my affidavit verified statement of facts, commercial truth, copyright notice, UCC-1, et cetera, all that stuff. At this point, they still had time because I sent them another bonded promissory note to them. And they had time to respond. You know, I had to wait for their time limits to run out. Meanwhile, before the court date, it did run out. I did send them a certificate, or the notary did, certificate of non-response. Then I filed two additional schedules into the case. One was a certificate of non-response that now they were in default, and also was a judge's oath, acceptance of his oath. So I put that into the file.
And
so that I had, and it was all under notary seal, and it was specifically addressed and said that the first letter and the second letter. First letter said put Exhibit 1 and Schedules A through E in the evidentiary file, signed by the notary. And when I sent the two additional files, which was the oath and the certificate of non-performance, I had those added as Schedule F and G, and I said also to put those, enter those into the evidentiary file.
And that was a certificate of non-performance issued by the notary on the dishonor by the attorney on the bonded promissory note?
Yes, it was.
Very good. So you had the evidence file loaded up by the notary, which
yes.
At which point we expect the judge to execute, not in an administrative capacity.
That's correct.
But in a strictly review capacity, and provide you with the remedy that you're instructing him to provide.
Yeah.
All right. So that led to a hearing. Did you request a hearing?
Yes, I did.
And what kind of document did you use to request the hearing?
Well, actually, I just put the counterclaim, notice of counterclaim, settlement, and bond into the case. And when I did, it took about 3 weeks, and I received notice from the court that a hearing would be on the 22nd or whatever the date was. I can't remember which day of the week is. I got it here in my file somewhere. Here it was. Notice of hearing was on the 24th. It was Monday. I thought I told you it was Tuesday. It was actually a Monday. On the 24th,
okay,
at 1:15 p.m. So at that point, it's requesting me to be there. So I called in and got permission to be there telephonically. The same as
now,
the attorney had.
Which notice of counterclaim did you put in, the private one or the public one? The one
public,
that looks like a...
It all went into the case file.
All right, so you put in the one that looks just like a court file, just like a court cover sheet.
Yes.
Very good. All right, so that leads us up to the hearing, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, I'll try to keep it clean. What happened?
But since this is a court case, and of course, this is a Christian radio station, and we're all Christians, but use your judgment here. This is a court case, and things that were said, we'll want to understand how you handled this judge and just what you were able to get away with.
Okay, I'll tell you like it was then.
Well, to a degree.
Okay, it was.
All right.
He started off. The attorney actually went in her. She's asking to have my motion to be dismissed and grant her summary judgment. So then he listened to her little spiel, and after he got done, said, "Okay, Bill, what do you have to say?" I said, "Well, I'm appearing here by special appearance and not in general appearance. I'm in the specific role's capacity as creditor to the defendant. Through this third-party plaintiff, legal fiction, throwing away." And he goes, "Wait a minute now. I don't want to listen to this shit. I don't want to have this bullshit going on in my courtroom." That was his exact words.
That was the judge. Yeah, that
the judge.
When we talk about what you said, we'll clean it up. But I wanted people to hear
right.
that was the judge who said that, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine that. A judge of the United States. Go right ahead.
So now at this point, well, naturally, I don't have to take that from him. So I responded in a like manner. I don't recommend everybody do this, but I just let him know I wasn't going to take a lot of crap. So I just said, "Judge, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't have to take your BS either." And I didn't use BS. I talked to him in the same language I just said. And he said, his next comment was, let's see, how did he say that? He said, "If you've got something you want to bring before this court, you better say it. And if you keep talking like this, I'm going to shut this court down and issue summary judgment." And I said, "Okay, Honor, you can do whatever you think your bond can stand." I said, "Now, we all know why we're here today, and let's put jockeying around the bench. You're trying to get me to testify." And I said, "I'm not here to testify." I said, "My counterclaim stands on its own 2 feet." And I said, "I'm asking you to be a trier of facts in your judicial capacity, not in a minister role or administrative. Administratively, this case has been settled. And I'm asking you to rule on the evidentiary file." When I said that, he said, "What evidence? There's nothing in my evidentiary file." I said, "You have nothing in your evidentiary file?" He said, "No." And I said, "I find that amusing." He said, "What's so funny about that?" I said, "Well, I'm sitting here looking at the clerk of the court signed for the documents under notary seal on June the 7th of 2007 and stamped my court claim June the 7th at 11:52 a.m. and the instructions by an officer of the Secretary of State instructed her to place it into the evidentiary file, and you're telling me there's nothing in there. Is that what I understand?"
How did he
respond? "Well, I don't have anything in my file." And I said, "Well, sounds like you got some problems there in your office, Your Honor. You might want to get those corrected." So then he said, "Well, what do you mean this is administratively settled?" And I said, "Well, the claim's already been paid." And he said, "What do you mean?" So then he turns to the plaintiff's attorney. And she says, "We've received nothing." I said, "Your Honor, You look in the evidentiary files right there before you. I issued a bonded promissory note to her. And she also has a certificate of non-response. And she says, we never received that. I said, so that's your testimony here? Is that what you're telling me? I said, I find that interesting because I'm sitting here looking at the green card signed by your office on 6-11, and it was sent to you under notary seal. And you still say you didn't receive it? We don't have it.
Well, I said, let me interrupt you here, Bill. You were a lot nicer than I would have been because I would have told this judge to start reading her Miranda rights because apparently she's perpetrating a fraud on the court. I like the way you're handling yourself very much. It's a very intelligent approach. Please continue.
Yeah. Then he says to me, he said something else smart to me. I can't remember how he said it, but I responded appropriately to him. But then he called me a wily old cuss. And he says, Berlin, let me ask you this. Would you issue another promissory note to pay this off? I said, Your Honor, I already issued one. Where's the original? Well, I don't know. She says she don't have it. Would you issue another one? I said, well, I guess I could do that. And he said, I'll tell you what. If you'll do that, and she can cash this at the bank, I will dismiss this case. If she can't cash it at the bank, then I'm going to issue summary judgment. Is that fair enough? I said, well, that sounds fair enough to me, Your Honor. And he said, well, look, I've got other cases I got to work on. I'm going to have to get off the phone. He says, you two go ahead and work out the details after I get off. And I think everything will be, all the parties will be happy. I said, okay, I thank you, Your Honor. I'm sorry if I sounded a little bit abrupt with you, but I'm not going to be pushed around. He said, I understand. You have a nice day. And he hung up. Of course, when he hung up, she hung up too.
No further negotiation.
Nope, she didn't want to talk to me.
All right. Well, I appreciate that you edited out the most fun parts for our audience, but that's the way it's got to be. But what do you think the judge actually did here?
Well, he was trying to, I think he was trying to stay out of the judicial role, and he's trying to maintain his administrative staff. He did not want to rule on the facts. The facts were she was outgunned all the way around because there was nothing in the file, in the evidentiary file placed in by the plaintiff. All she had was in the clerk's file, and everything I had was actual evidence.
Right, and then you had a subsequent conversation with a young lawyer in her office, did you not?
Yeah, the next day.
What did he tell you?
He calls me on the phone, very nice young gentleman. I don't even think he might have an advanced degree in law, I don't know, but he had he told me he had a bachelor's in mechanical engineering. So I thought, well, maybe times are tough, you know, and he's working there because he needs a job. So anyway, he's talking to me as if, I was called to talk to you to see if there's some way I can help you, and suddenly he's saying, can you send a certified check or money order, this or that? And I said, oh, no. I said, I'm going to send you a bonded promissory note. And he says, well, okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go one better. I said, if you'd like an IBOE. He said, what? It's an international bill of exchange. I can send you one of those, too. And he says, oh, okay. He said, what do you have to do? I said, well, I need your bank's address, your bank's routing numbers, and the account number you want it to go to. And he says, I don't know if they'll give that information. They won't let that out. Little did I know at this point in the conversation, he tells me later, the attorney was actually on the other line listening to our conversation.
Of course, she had him call.
Right.
She was trying to get you to commit to certified U.S. legal tender funds instead of the bonded promissory note.
Right. So I said, I can send that. I said, or I can give you a 1040-V. You know, accept it. So you can take your choice.
That was very intelligent. Very
anyway,
intelligent. What did he say to that?
Well, he didn't know. He said, "What? I don't understand all this." So I started explaining a little bit about money and, you know, all this about the IBOEs and the promissory note and where it all comes from. And he goes, you know what? He says, I should call you more often. I said, well, I'm going to tell you, I'm an old man now. I wish I had known it when I was your age. You sound like a relatively young man, and you need to know this stuff now, not when you got one foot in the grave.
I said, enthusiasm.
I said, if you can check a little bit, you'll find out everything I'm saying, there's truth behind it all. So he says, well, okay. I said, I'll try to get this out to you in the mail today. Then he says, in passing, he says, well, it sounds like to me you're being reasonable about it. He says, hell, I'm sitting here looking at the file right now. He says, and I see what you're talking about. He says, here's your bonded promissory note here, and here's the fiduciary instructions, and also there's a thing from a notary, a certificate of non-response. And he says, I don't understand. Why didn't they just follow the instructions?
Bill?
I said, if I was a betting man, probably what happened, it came into the office. This is abstract in most people's way of thinking. What is this, some kind of kook? You can't do this. I said, I doubt very seriously if the who the fiduciary is ever saw this piece of paper. Probably just threw it in his file and went on with business as usual. That's the way I'd bet. I said, now, I never wanted to hurt my brother. I try to do the right thing. I said, but I'm going to tell you, this next time around, it's not going to be so easy. I'm going to send you another bonded promissory note. First, I asked him for a wet ink signature. That's what I asked him. If you want the IBOE, I said, send me a wet ink signature on the bill, what I owe you.
Send me a bill of my liability.
Right. So then he said,
tell the audience why you did that.
Well, I have to have that, actually, as a charging document is what I was looking for. And he said that, he didn't know if he could do that. And I said, well, listen, they already had summary judgment from the judge. Why don't you send me a copy of the summary judgment? It's got his signature on it, and I can go from there.
Let me interrupt you. We've got a break coming up in 5 seconds. We'll be back with Bill Smith after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
On the cement floor this morning,
like somebody's been a walking on it. I don't know how I got here. I don't remember nothing at all.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to a very special edition of Take No Prisoners. It's Sunday night, and we're speaking with Bill Smith, who's involved in a very interesting negotiation, because that's what it is. Bill, you've conducted yourself very appropriately, both in a judicial negotiation, a purported judicial negotiation, and an administrative negotiation with the attorney for a credit card bank, or an attorney for itself if, in fact, they purchased the debt. So you were on the phone with a young lawyer or young staff member, maybe a paralegal at the company, and he told you that he actually saw your bonded promissory note in their file and the notary's certificate of non-performance. So, in fact, the attorney provided false information. I suspect the attorney outright lied. She knew what was in that file. They look at that file before they entertain. In fact, they not only look at that file before a hearing, she had it open in front of her when she said to the judge, "I don't have it." I wouldn't be surprised if she had an ex parte communication with him previous to your hearing, Bill.
No.
And the judge said, "Well, I don't see it in my file." And she said, "Wink, wink, I don't see it in my file." And then they dialed you up and tried to run a pincer movement on you and attack from the rear. That's personally what I think went on here. It happens all the time. So you mentioned he said, what was his response when you offered to send him an international bill of exchange which was drawn under the UNCTAD trial convention?
Well, he said that initially he said he didn't think he could give me the those routing numbers and all. He said, "I don't think they're going to do that. They won't do this." And I said, "Well, I can't write one if I don't have the numbers." I said, "Then we're back to the bonded promissory note." So then she, what unbeknownst to me, apparently they were in eye contact with each other. She's listening on the phone. She told him, waved at him or something, and pushed over the bank's name, address, routing number, and account number.
Isn't that fascinating? So,
yeah. And so he gives it all to me. So I write that down. So after I got down, I said, "Okay, I got this credit," and I read it back to him. He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, now what I need a signed statement of what you say I owe you. I need a wet ink signature on it." He goes, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, you need to send me something with wet ink. We have a contract. I owe you something. That's what you're going to tell me." And he says, "Well, I don't know if we can do that." And I said, "I'll tell you what, if that's causing a problem, look in your file there. They had summary judgment from the judge, supposedly on June the 6th. You should have a copy of it there in your file." So he looks in his file and he says, "Well, yeah, there is one here, but nobody signed it. It just says the original of this document was signed on June 6th. But there's nothing with a signature on it." I said, "Isn't that interesting? Nothing you've got signed, nothing I've got signed. I wonder if, in fact, anybody ever signed anything." He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, if you don't send me that, I can't send you an IBOE."
I can tell you right now, Bill, that there is no signed summary judgment in this case. This whole case has been conducted ex parte without you knowing it. They gave it a year to see if they could get out of it, and then finally decided, let's just move on his default, and we'll do it in the quietest way possible without accepting risk. We're going to pick this up after the break in the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. My friends, we're talking with Bill Smith, and we'll be back in 1 minute.